And wish you the grace and peace of God. A few days ago, I didn't even know the name of your church. And very little about you. We didn't expect to be here. But the Lord had other things in mind, and I guess we'd like to just continue thinking about maybe the thoughts of God and our thoughts of God in relation to Him in situations like this. It was a struggle to understand what to share, and yet I feel like if you can think of what Brother Mike and Brother Phil and myself share together as kind of parts of the same message, I hope you can see that. We heard comments about God that we know are true and right, that God is wise, that God is good, God is kind, and He's merciful. It was alluded to that God is in control. And Those very things cause us or bring us struggle as we think of the death of a very young child like this that seems so unexplained, uncalled for. As Brother Hofer said yesterday, it's wrong. It just seems so wrong. And it is. It's not the way God intended for this world to be when He created it. And when He placed Adam and Eve in that garden, and we look forward, as we heard yesterday, to these the time when God will make all things new, and bring His people back to that place that He intended for them, for us. Romans tells us that death came into the world as a result of sin. That's Romans 5, verse 12. As clear as you can get. That death is a part of what's wrong with the world. And as I was thinking about how we, you know, it's one thing down the road as we've had time to process, to move through, to live life, we start to see more and more these things that we talked about, that God's kindness and His goodness, and where was God in all of this? But right in the middle, it just brings up so much else. And as I stood in your cemetery yesterday, and saw only, I think, one adult grave there. Is that right? Two. There's two. And so many little ones. And knowing that you have another child in the hospital from your congregation here, I believe. And what God had brought to me already on Friday night was what the question, what does it mean to have the faith of a little child? When we think about these things, when we try to understand, when we try to believe, we try to have faith. Jesus said very clearly that we need to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And that's receiving the kingdom of God in the face of very difficult situations and receiving it with the faith of a little child. There's a young man in our congregation whose name is Andy, and he's 3 years old, so he's pretty young. And he still doesn't talk very clearly yet, and so sometimes it can be a little bit hard to understand what he's trying to say. But his parents got him a puppy that he named Pokey. And he was so excited about that puppy. And he would talk about that. He would come to me and tell me about Pokey. And one day, Pokey disappeared. And that was extremely difficult for him to accept and deal with. And he would talk about that. He'd come to me at church and talk about Pokey's gone, and he was gone for several weeks. But one day, and I forget exactly how, somehow they found out where Pokey was, not too far down the road with a neighbor, I think. And somehow it gotten lost, probably followed some other dogs away and gotten lost and ended up at this neighbor's house and was there for a while. And they figured out that there were neighbors missing a dog. In fact, I think they had put papers in mailboxes or something, and somehow there was some connections made, and Pokey came home. And he was so happy. And so now he's talking about Pokey's back home. And Pokey this and Pokey that. But a few weeks later, Pokey died. Probably poisoned, they think. Got into some poison that was out for something else, and he died. And that's been a number of weeks ago. And so now he's talking about Pokey dying. Well, that's not just Pokey missing, and we don't know where Pokey is. We know Pokey is dead. And so now he's back to talking about that. The other day his dad came to our place to borrow something, and he was in the car in his car seat, and he was called to me out through the window and wanted to talk about, make sure that I remembered that Pokey was dead. And I had to think about that. So how does that help us understand what the faith of a child can say to us? And as I thought about that, the significant thing for him in dealing with the death of his puppy was, or what he was dealing with, mostly in the way that he talks about it, is bewilderment. He can't put words to all of the things that we as adults might be able to, but he can. But it's just the reason he wants to talk about it is it doesn't make sense to him. Somehow he can't figure this out. Even that you know, he's really dead and isn't going to come back like he did the time before. And so he just keeps talking about it, keeps telling people, keeps making sure we remember. But I noticed one thing is that he doesn't talk so much with other little children about Pokey. He goes to the adults. And as I thought about that, I think that a part of what he wants is some reassurance from people that he believes at least should be able to understand and know. He wants some reassurance that it'll be okay. Because he seems to be satisfied when you express sympathy and sorrow, and reassure him, and then he goes and he just goes and goes on with his life. As we walk the journey of life, and we experience these things that bewilder us, we each deal with these things or we face things in a different way. We have our own unique turn on grief, our own questions, maybe unique fears and desires. Here, some time ago, I was talking with a grandfather who had lost a grandchild. And he was there at the when his grandchild passed away. And his comment to me was, I'm at the end of my life. A few more years here or there don't make a lot of difference to me anymore. And my question was, well, why not me? My prayer was, let this child live, take me. Us as parents, we might deal with things, you know, we say, well, how would I handle if something like this happened to me? What would I do? And we can share in others' grief in that way as we identify that what that something like that might do to us. Young people might tend to focus more on how unfair things seem. And how can God be good if he allows things like this to happen. If your church is like ours, there's young ladies here who just love all the babies they can get a hold of. And there's unique pain and grief that they have to deal with. And we know, especially us older folks, we know that these things are a journey. You start here, wherever you have to start, and there's a road that you walk. But there was a situation that I think can help us understand that this journey, this path and where we start is important to God. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 24. We have the story of a journey that was very, very significant to two people, especially. But it continues to speak to us today. Starting in verse 13, where you had two men who had lost their hero. Two men who were disciples of Jesus, who had seen him die. Or if they hadn't seen it, they knew that he was gone. And notice what they were doing as they walked together. They talked together about all these things. And while they communed together and reasoned. So what does that mean, that they were reasoning? Well, that's what we do. I heard a lot of that. You know, it's... We wonder why. We try to figure out what God is up to, what's happening. We, as humans, it's just in us to want to make sense of the world around us. And so that's what they were doing. They were trying to make sense of Jesus' death. And he showed up, Jesus showed up and walked with them and got them to continue or maybe repeat what they had just been talking about. The questions, the trying to analyze, the trying to figure out what's going on. Here we thought Jesus was the Messiah. He was going to deliver us. And now... He's dead, so that's all over. All our hopes, you know, we can hardly enter, it, just words on the page, it's hard to enter into the emotions that must have been going on here. In the hopes that are gone, the dreams that have crashed into pieces. We We trusted, verse 21, that he should have redeemed, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And then they commented on this crazy story that he wasn't in the grave anymore. And then Jesus started at Moses and the prophets and began to explain to them and open to them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And it was in that ordinary meal that suddenly their eyes were opened. And I think the reason they said, "Did not our heart burn within us," is not just that they recognized Jesus, but that they understood everything, finally understood everything that he had said. And notice when that happened. It happened at the end of the journey, not at the beginning. Now, to bring Andy back in here, so as I see what he is doing as a child, as he talks about this, he's doing in his child's way about a child's big issue, but to us doesn't look as nearly as big. But he's talking on the way. And somewhere along the line, he'll be okay with Pokey. And he'll remember he had a puppy named Pokey and the fun that he had. But the confusion will somehow be gone. The bewilderment, he might not know, you know, have all the answers to everything, but it'll be okay. As we talk, as we think, as we pray, as we ponder, it's not that, can we say, spectacular or dramatic things happen. This morning, I was walking out to the car to come here with my granddaughter, who's a year and a half old, and she doesn't walk very steadily, even on a solid surface, and so we were going over some pretty rough ground. And she was stumbling. And she would have fallen if she hadn't been holding on to my hand. As we walk through this, whatever confusion, whatever questions, whatever we might feel, things that we aren't even sure are right for us to feel maybe sometimes, we have to understand and recognize and accept that that's okay. God knows that we're people, and he created us to have these feelings and to respond in these ways. And that if in the middle of that we keep holding on to his hand, He will open to us, as he did to the disciples in Emmaus, he will open to us who he is, what he wants for us. He may not answer all the questions. In fact, he probably won't. But if we continue to walk that journey with him, we can be confident that whatever purposes he wants to bring out of these situations and your experiences as a congregation or as individuals or as families or whatever, that as you walk, whether you see it or not, his good purposes will be accomplished. We would like to think that, okay, at the end of all of this was, oh, now I understand. Now I see all, you know. Probably not. In fact, I'm not sure. I've talked many times that I think we'll understand all these things in heaven. And, you know, more recently, I'm not so sure. And it may be that we will, because we will know even as we are known. I'm not sure what all that means. But it's possible that the way that God will take care of all the questions that we bring to heaven that we had no answers for here on earth is just so, simply that we will be so overwhelmed, maybe is the word, or so enraptured with the understanding of who he is that all the questions will just sort of disappear, rather than God sitting down and giving us all the answers. I don't know. But as we think about God's ways being higher than our ways, Romans 11, 33 and 34 talks about, you know, how unsearchable God is and his ways are. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talking about us seeing through a glass darkly. Causes us to reflect that we really here in this life cannot understand all that there is. And that's why the Christian life is a life of faith. It's faith in a person, not in understanding or in thoughts or in. And as was mentioned yesterday, one of the primary, the stated purposes for Christ's coming into the world is to heal the brokenhearted. And we focus rightly on salvation from sin. But our broken hearts are the effects of sin. And so it's a part of Christ's saving work to heal our broken hearts. I'd like to turn to a passage that I think describes the Jesus that walks with us through these difficult things in life. Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And I trust that part of this is not true for you. I think he's just talking generally about people. But here we have clearly given to us that Christ is one who actually, maybe even before we received the grief, it's in past tense, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So he's been carrying what you are carrying today. He's been carrying before you even knew it, before you experienced it. And yet in the natural man looks down on Jesus and rejects Jesus. So, well, why am I hurting if you're so good? Well, that's not our response. Our response is that of the disciples on the road to Emmaus as we're walking with Jesus, as he's carrying our griefs and sorrows now, continuing to carry them now with us. We're listening, we're hearing, we're holding on. And we can come to the end of that. And all these things that we know in our head to be true about Jesus, about God, that he's wise and good and merciful and kind. We know them to be true in our heart. And I think that's when we kind of come to the end of this particular journey. It doesn't mean that all the sorrow, the sadness is completely gone away. That stays with us. But the confusion, the bewilderment, the intensity has been healed. And it comes because we have Jesus who is walking with us, listening to us, healing us, and binding up our wounds. And I pray that the Lord will help each of you, and especially Conrad and Rhonda, to experience that, both in the journey and at the end. May the Lord grant you his grace. Let's kneel for prayer.